Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Okay, good morning. Thank you, Daryl. I do agree. He's with us always. So we are continuing on a journey that we've been on. I'm going to do a quick review. Last week we said, opened up in prayer, just believing that God has something for each and every one of us in this is what I felt led to pray. And he reminded me this morning that is carrying over to today, that it's been a continuation. All of this has kind of been a sequence coming from when we had a chance to share in the big room, and the theme there was having fallen from grace. It was in Galatians where it says, you elevated the law and made grace of no effect. The title of that message was Affected, and the idea was, are we being affected by grace? Grace is this unmerited favor. But whatever areas of my life that I fix my eyes on this world, the seen world, on performance, on how I'm behaving, then I start to make me and my own self involved in my righteousness or unrighteousness. And then therefore, I take him and his finished work and his righteousness and make it of no effect. Which is a scary verse. Okay, now the good news is he's stronger than I am. And the disclaimer that we gave there that I want to give again this morning is this isn't meant to sow not even one iota of fear. And we're going to talk a little bit about fear. It's just an awareness that we get to, not we have to. How many people, if something is already yours, would you rather enjoy it today or 3 years from now, if it's something good? Okay, that's all. So you can't, he won't take his grip off of you. Even if I am elevating the law, even if I am wrapped up in performance, even if I am striving and running after trying to figure life out and try to get somewhere instead of just rest and enjoy, he will work all things together for my good. He'll go, okay, how many lumps of sugar would you like? How many lumps? I'm picturing one of those cartoons where there used to be a cartoon, how many lumps would you like? And then the guy takes out a hammer and whacks him on the head and gives him a hammer. You know, how many lumps would you like? Really, I don't want you to have any. He's not giving the lumps, God, right? The enemy is standing around wanting to hit us like little whack-a-moles. Every time we stick our head up and try and be self-righteous, he's there to go, oh, great. And then God uses that lump, but he didn't give us the lump. He doesn't want us to have the lump. But when the lump causes us to be aware of where we were in wrong thinking, that reveals a place where we were in wrong believing, then we can rest and surrender and come back to that awareness of grace. There's in Romans 5:17, it talks first about how through the one man, all sinned, right? Through Adam, we all came under sin. But then through the one man, Jesus, it goes on to say that anyone who believes in his full grace, anyone who believes, there's different versions that I love. One is anyone who accepts the full grace. The full gospel is some ways that it says it. But anyway, believes, we'll take it from the NASB, in that full grace will and his righteousness, let me read it. 5:17. Here we go. I'm going to skip two. So, who received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, have one other version that I love says, we'll have true life. Well, that one says true life. Sorry, full life. There's more life than I'm experiencing. I know there is because a year ago I said that and I'm experiencing more life today than I was a year ago. It's never going to run out. It's never going to stop getting better, right? Anyway, I said I was going to review quick before we dig in, so let me do that. The whole idea was, why then do we sometimes turn to self and not stay in full acceptance and rest of He's got it all? Well, even though we're new creations, as it says in 2 Corinthians, we're new creations, the old has passed away, there's still old man habits and memories. In fact, in the brain, and science is catching up to God. God created man, God created the world, God created science. Science is amazing. Science is catching up to the fact, to Him, and the catching up in only attempting to explain and understand. I didn't mean, just in case someone's watching and going to write in and say, science could never catch up to God. God is all. I agree. I'm just saying it's starting to align. You with me? Okay. So anyway, the brain has these mechanisms that store memories. It's storing energy. It's storing the mapping of an encounter. Okay. I know we've been through it, so I won't go into it any more than to say the brain now has memories, my brain has memories of how to react to something when the trigger comes. The trigger comes, my brain says, uh-oh, that's dangerous, and it then goes into protection. Even if it's not dangerous, if my brain believes it's dangerous, it's then going to do that. So our story is where we left off last week, or where we were talking. We have our own stories that we reinforce, and the more we reinforce something, the more it literally builds those physical storage components in the brain and reinforces that untruth, reinforces that less than life, reinforces me relying on self instead of relying on Him. The great news is we get an opportunity to look at it differently. So just for fun, I ran across something from the secular world that I don't have a TV monitor. I didn't plan ahead, but the audio is enough. There will be video, but I'm not going to expect you to be able to see it from there. But just listen, and then we'll talk about it in a second.
Okay. Got some bad news for you. You are being brainwashed. And the reason why I say this is because everything that you see, hear, and read is influencing the way that you think. Now, if you watch the news, you might think that humans are getting worse, it's getting less and less safe, and everything's getting more dangerous, but nothing can be further from the truth. A Harvard professor actually did a study and found out that this is the safest time to be alive as a human. To give you some statistics from the Bureau of Justice and from the FBI's website, since 1993, firearm homicides have dropped 39%. Non-fatal firearm accidents have gone down 69%. Now, if you watch the news, you'd think the exact opposite of that. You'd think that it's getting worse, right? Now, let's talk about the rest of the world. Is the rest of the world getting safer? It absolutely is. The amount of deaths per year per capita from war across the world is 1/12 of what it was in the 1950s. This is the safest time to be alive as a human. Now, you might ask yourself, why would the news concentrate on so much negativity if the world is actually getting better? And the reason why is because they understand the way your brain works. Your brain is designed to look for the negative. And the reason why is because your brain wants you to stay alive. So it focuses on the negative. So if the news puts out more and more negative, you're more likely to watch. Your brain is going to get addicted to watching that negativity, which in turn turns into more advertising dollars for the news companies that you're watching. So of course it seems more negative. Of course it seems like the world is getting worse. But there has never been a time where it's been more safe to be a human than right now. So what can you take from this? Instead of watching the news and thinking that the world is negative and allowing them to brainwash you, you can brainwash yourself. You can start reading books. You can watch motivational or instructional. instructional or educational stuff on YouTube. You can listen to podcasts. Because here's the deal. No matter what you listen to or watch or read, it's going to brainwash you. So why don't you brainwash yourself with something that's going to be beneficial for you versus what the media continues to feed you? Because if you continue to eat what they feed you, you have to deal with the sickness that's going to happen in your mind.
Interesting, isn't it? Regardless, because I want to make...
It's not the information he's given that I don't believe.
Uh-huh.
It's not about the negativity that the news media is doing. It's right. Who's prince of the airwaves? Who has control over that media? And it's Satan, and he has a plan.
Okay, so your non-agreement is in the statistics he was giving or in the spin on the news?
The spin on the news.
Okay, so that's a whole nother topic. No question. That's a whole nother topic. And
And his plan.
Absolutely, he's going to use everything. The enemy's a liar, a deceiver.
I guess my disagreement is not about human nature.
Right.
It's about what Satan is gearing up. So
he knows the nature of man. So I agree with you. This wasn't to say that this is all-knowing and all-truth. It was just a perspective of someone saying well, first let's take what it said. It said the world's safer than it's ever been. Well, if you live in a town that's getting bombed right now, do you care? Okay, so I just wanted to make a point that it really doesn't matter. Because there's times when this Bible was true for the Romans when Rome was being destroyed by Nero. It was true. It was your point this morning. God is God no matter what you guys are facing. God is God always. So the point isn't to say, thank goodness the world's getting safer. It may get unsafer in your lifetime by statistics. Who cares? The point is, we get to reign. We're called to reign and live a full life and a true life. And I didn't say it, he did, okay? But the point about the brainwashing is, and who's behind it, the enemy, is he wants us to cling and store the only place that we can in our brain information that is in direct conflict with the truth and the love of God. And so the scripture that really started this whole series was that there are lofty speculations that we do not war in the flesh, that we've been given divinely the power to stand firm and win and live victorious lives against the strongholds. What strongholds? If they're not physical, where are they? They are in our minds, and we hold on to them with the stories that we tell ourselves over and over again. We start to tell other people our story. This is just the way I am. We some of them we're aware of. It's the ones we're not aware of that video is why I showed it. It was just to say, not from a place of fear. Remember, we opened up and said that this is not meant to generate fear. In fact, we're going in a moment to 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, we have not been given a spirit of timidity, of fear, but instead of power, love, and a sound mind, okay? Before we go there a little bit further, just the point here is, what stories? Holy Spirit, I get this. Thank you. I'm here for a reason this morning. I'm listening online for a reason. This moment. To realize there are stories in my brain, my mind, which is my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions, is now being led by the Spirit when you said yes to Jesus. The Spirit is leading, and my soul gets to choose that truth and take dominance over my mind. So, Holy Spirit, reveal to me stories that are not true, that have been told to me that are either real encounters or imaginary encounters. Either way, the brain perceives them to be real and reacts accordingly. And so the amygdala, which we've talked about, is the place that protects us, but it's also the place that has capacity for passion, and it's what brings moxie to the game, whatever the game is, okay? But the hippocampus is kind of like the brain of our hormones. It is... where our wisdom what is it when you decipher? interpret the meaning of things, and it's where we get to evaluate and do things of that nature. Both are valuable. Anyone want to live a passionless life? No. No flavor to anything? No. I want my amygdala. I want to be, right? And I also want to have my soul in control, making good choices. So anyway, if there's a story that's causing me to be over-dependent on the wrong kinds of emotions, I want to know. And the Holy Spirit's sharing them and wants to share with you more and more and just have you go, wait a minute, why do I believe that? Does that align? Or why do I feel this way? I feel this way because I must be believing something. Does he want me to feel fear? He just said, no. Power, love, and sound mind. I didn't give you a spirit of timidity, okay? Well, if you look in the Greek at the power, love, and sound mind, power is this dunamis power. It's not your power. The challenge is, in my first reading of that scripture, couple decades ago, I thought, yes, power. And everything I knew about power is what I tried to build upon. I'll be strong in the Lord. I'll be strong in my resolve. And so I said, I'm not timid. I'm strong. That's not the power he's talking about. It's the divine power that it says in Peter that he gives to us. It's his power in us. It's dunamis is the word. And it's explosive. And it's power for miracles. By the way, by definition, it's the power for supernatural, not natural. So, don't need to raise your hand. I'm just curious. When I say it's a power, miraculous power, supernatural power, is there anyone that had any little voice that questioned that as you heard it? Okay, and I will say, for me, yes. That power is in me, and I have the power to do miracles. There's parts of my story that contradict that. I didn't choose them. They came from the world, okay? But my awareness of it, sorry, we were just sending a bug to heaven. you got it? Good job, that was brave. Do you see how subtle that was? I just wanted, it's a perfect, I didn't have that plan. This is great. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We say power, dunamis power. I can't tell you right now what the references are or what the story is that has been written in my brain that causes me to question that, but it's there. So now with the awareness, I can rest and lay that at his feet and say, help me understand that more. Not this moment. I'll do it later. It's there. It's out. I've already put it out there. Remember Romans 5:17? Those who accept his full grace. I'm choosing now to accept his grace in that area, in this moment, before your eyes. Awareness came. For those who weren't here last week, I realized this is meaningless. So we're going to continue to review. What we're talking about here is story. Where am I going to use this space? Anyway, in this moment, awareness came as we asked that question about power. And I asked you, and in asking you, I had to ask myself and realized there are areas that I question. And so with that awareness, I now can rest. I've laid it at his feet, and he will start revealing things. And if I were to just sit still for a minute here, and I haven't yet about this. I sat hoping I might, but I'm with you instead of there. But if I did for a minute, part of it's simple. There's still a belief that there's something I'm not believing strongly enough. Okay? In other words, I paused to let the Holy Spirit reveal to me, now that I'm in awareness, what untrue, lofty speculation did I receive that has created some sort of a stronghold in here that contradicts the truth that's already mine. And it was that there's something I need to believe more strongly. In fact, when I asked the question, does anyone Did anyone have any challenge with hearing? You have miraculous power in you. Somebody said, no, I have no problem. I saw the head. And I went, ooh, because I realized I did. I was like, that was the answer I wasn't looking for. And so that person is choosing to believe that they have that power. So there's a difference. Do you know what I'm saying? There's it just is more revelation. I just wanted you to see the process. That's all. So this was a little tangent to say, in any area that you end up coming into awareness of something that does not seem to be full life, abundant life, that doesn't feel like you're reigning, and reigning as in a child of the living God, king of the situation, changing the atmosphere. If you don't feel that way, no big deal. But with the awareness, all of a sudden, you can say, reveal to me where I'm not believing. Rewrite the story, okay? And so last week we left off, I want to finish the 2 Timothy and then we'll go to where we left off. So power, dunamis power was one. It also says love, right? Not a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. That word love in the Greek, fascinating. Its definition is love feasts. Doesn't even really make sense to us, but the love, it's agape love, okay. But one of the definitions of agape is love feasts. And the beauty of that is feasting back then, if you were to have a feast, there were wedding feasts and the festivals of the Passover and the different festivals, that those would involve feast as well. When it was a time of feasting, guess what stopped? Everything but the feast. So the metaphor, it's a metaphorical definition. Love feast. We don't have a spirit of timidity. We have a spirit of love, and it's a love that says everything else can come to... There is nothing else. This is the celebration. We have that kind of love that overtakes everything. It's that is the definition of that, an aspect of that definition. And then sound mind ties to where we're at. A sound mind. It talks about self-discipline in some versions. And again, when I first read it before understanding grace, I think, okay, then I have a spirit that's disciplined. So let me be self-disciplined, self-controlled. Anyone relate? Right? Okay, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying, I have a sound mind. Whose obedience is it that has made me victorious? His obedience. Whose discipline? His discipline. So I rest in that, and that's where my sound mind comes from. So it's the exact opposite of those things that would contradict, and the enemy, as you pointed out, who would be behind any attempts of media or anything else to brainwash me and set up strongholds to prevent me from receiving his full grace and therefore and his righteousness and therefore having full life and reigning. So in the journey of the story, we left off last time touching on a fascinating result of being in this cycle, and it was this concept of certainty. Quick review. I asked last week, in case you weren't with us, does anyone remember when you first had to go get a job and how you had nothing to lose because you'd never had a job before? You'd never really made your own money, so you were willing to do whatever it took, and you went out there and went after it. If it took on a new career, remember the fear of the first time of going in, the anxiety, the enthusiasm. If you started a new business, same thing. But you were willing to do whatever it took, which even included sometimes working long hours, studying outside of work, whatever it took, working on a resume. Your mind was open to receive whatever would enable you to succeed in this endeavor. Maybe the same with a relationship. You had nothing to lose. You were longing for a great relationship. And so you went into that relationship with reckless abandon. And you gave more of yourself and you were, right? So you were in a place of uncertainty with nothing to lose. You wanted to feel certain in a job and know you could pay your bills. You wanted to be certain in a relationship. So you're willing to do whatever it took. But then once you get a degree of certainty, all of a sudden we get really comfortable there. And we do whatever we can to protect and retain that certainty because it's comfortable and it's safe. And before you know it, we don't want to leave that cushy certain place. And we get stuck and we start to reinforce a story that maybe this is where I belong. Maybe this is all I deserve. Or maybe this is all I want. Maybe I shouldn't be wanting more. Whatever it looks like, but it becomes a limitation and limiting beliefs start to get built up. And then you have strongholds that don't align with this truth. Right? Is this too deep? You guys with me? Okay. So all of a sudden, we said there can be something that isn't important enough that you decide to break that barrier and go out into the land of uncertainty and take on a new victory, which gives you a new degree of certainty in this area. But the beauty is you just expanded your capacity and have a fuller life. Remember, true life, full life, it says. Anyone who accepts his full grace and his righteousness is there's a full life that's intended. We are intended to walk on the earth in a place of walk in this fallen world is a world of uncertainty. Whatever the statistics were for whether it's a safer world or not, it's still a world of uncertainty. We live in Florida. Somebody's watching this that doesn't, and probably would be fascinated to know if you don't already, New Smyrna is the highest shark attack place in the world, okay? In the whole world, there's only so many bites a year. New Smyrna has like 40 of them. They're little sharks that bite and release. How many have swam at New Smyrna in here? Okay, and will again. There's millions. There's far better chance you will go out and get in a car accident than you will get bit by a shark. The person who just got bit, I hope you didn't, whatever, they don't care about that statistic, right? Like we said. So the point is, it's a world of uncertainty, regardless of the statistics. But we are meant to live victorious in uncertainty and not be afraid of uncertainty and not have a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, okay? So we are certain in him. He is working all things together for my good. So how about an example from scripture, David? You know, it seems like you talked a lot of science here. Where's the scripture in this? Well, there was this guy that was in a boat, and they look out onto the water, and they see Jesus walking on the water. Familiar with the story? And Peter says, Lord, call that I may come to you. And he says, come. And he steps out of the boat into the land of uncertainty and starts walking on top of it victoriously. Until he looked down. It sent a trigger to the brain that said, you are in trouble. You can't walk on water. Right? This is real. It really happened, and this is how it works. It triggered in his natural brain, and his brain took dominance over his soul and therefore his spirit, and he started to sink. And even though he made the mistake, the reason you don't have to be afraid even in that story, thank you, Holy Spirit, still Jesus took care of it. He didn't have to pull himself up by his bootstraps and be a better Christian or drown. All he did was look back at Jesus. Jesus took his hand and up he came and all was well, right? So anyway, last week we talked about Jesus saying to the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they told him. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And the same Peter that walked on the water said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. No man told you this, but only my Father in heaven. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build you and you and you and you. You are his church. He said, upon that truth, believing that he is the Son of God. Okay, great. The timing of him asking that, though, we pointed out, was right after they had just been concerned about not having enough food, which was right after they had just crossed over the water, which was right after they had just been without food, and Christ fed the multitudes. So now that that just happened, then all of a sudden they're bickering over food, and he says, who do you say that I am? Well, you're the Christ. Well, who'd you say I was about 10 minutes ago when you were worried about no food? Peter, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, as he's walking above the water. Then he looked at the water. Who do you say I am in this moment as you're going down? You're not the Christ. So it's just, there's no condemnation in it. There's awareness. There's power in awareness. The summary of all this, I hope you hear my heart. I believe his heart was for us to hear this as an invitation. It was for us to believe that he says we are holy as he is holy. That word holy is other than, is the definition. So everything we know, everything we've ever encountered here on earth is than. It's the natural. But there is an other than, which is supernatural. It's another dimension. It's another existence. It's an invitation. This journey we've been on is an invitation to just stay aware and remember Peter walking on the water and just looking to him and allow the story to be rewritten. Participate if you want. If you feel called, get stuff like this book I've referenced for the last month or two by Caroline Leaf called Switch on Your Brain. If someone wouldn't get it because it's inconvenient or financial, whatever, let me know. If it's important to you, whatever. Just the point is, switch on your... She simply walks through the science of this and walks through the a process to detox and allow the rewriting of this story. It's 21 days. It takes 7 to 10 minutes a day. It's just a process of practicing awareness, literally being still, and again, she'll walk you through it, but coming into awareness and then allowing that awareness to be something you reflect on and have the Holy Spirit share with you new things to believe and replace toxic thinking with healthy thinking. Replace toxic thinking, replace the lofty speculations from the enemy that are trying to rob you of your full life and your true life and your reigning life. Again, we don't have to, number one. Number two, he's doing it anyway, but the question that I asked you in the beginning is, if something's already yours and it's something you long for, would you rather enjoy it today or 10 years from now?
Now.
So why not? Why not receive? Why not? You get to is the point. I had hope for questions. We got 2 minutes. Anybody have any questions on the journey we've been on?
I got a question.
Yes.
Why Paul says in the Corinthians?
Why Paul says in Corinthians, yeah.
Yeah, Paul says, work out your salvation. What did he mean when he said work out your salvation? I mean, if we don't have to do nothing because the Lord has already done, okay, uh-huh. What I have to do? What kind of work I have to do? Nothing. I just got to sit down and rest.
So great question.
Yeah.
You answered it yourself. you answered it yourself, but it's a great question. The world wants to take things and the semantics of words and the meanings of words work out. We could fixate. If I say work out we don't have time for the semantics. So let me just say this. You said it yourself. Working out my salvation is me working out of my salvation. It's the there's one place in 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57, after he talks about sin and the sting of sin is death, he goes on to say, but thanks be to Christ who did it all for us, yes. Right? Okay. And then he says, so be steadfast, ever never ceasing in the work of the Lord. And he says, for your toil is not in vain. What's the toil? Well, if you go to John 6:29, I think it is, it says, the disciples asked him, what are the works of the Lord? And he said, to believe on the one that he sent. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians, it is a toil. Okay. In this world, it's not easy to rest because it's easier to work. It's easier to cling to the story. It's easier to look at the water and the waves for Peter than it was to keep his eyes on Jesus. That is a work. That's the work, is to rest, is to receive. The currency of the kingdom is to receive and believe, not to work. And so you want a bunch of cash? You got unlimited cash. Receive and believe. Yeah, right? So thank you, Jesus, for your truth and for the love that you have for us and the freedom that you have for us. You're amazing, God. We love you, and amen.